Welcome to the ASCD podcast, supporting you on your journey as a life-changing educator. Here's your host for today's program.
Hi, everyone. This is Anthony Rabora, the Chief Content Officer for ASCD ISTE. Summer learning has taken on greater urgency and new forms since the pandemic, as policymakers and education leaders have sought to extend and deepen students' opportunities for academic development and enrichment. But how exactly have summer learning programs changed? How can they meet ambitious expectations for improving equity and engagement? And where do they fit in with overall academic programming and school improvement planning? To explore these questions, I'm joined today by Allison Crean Davis, a Vice President for Education Studies at WESDAT. She is also the Director of the National Summer Learning and Enrichment Study. Funded by the Wallace Foundation, this multi-year research project includes a series of reports on how states and school systems have responded to the call for greater attention to summer learning in the wake of the pandemic. Welcome, Allison. It's great to get a chance to talk with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you, Anthony.
So how has the role of summer learning programs within school systems changed since the pandemic?
One of the major changes that came with the pandemic was the attention paid to summer on a national basis. Summer of 2021 in particular was timed with the pandemic when kids were beginning to return broadly to school. Mm-hmm. And so the timing was great because it was an opportunity to bring kids together and off of simply virtual platforms. It was also an opportunity when summer was lifted up as a national priority. And there's really a call to action that came from the White House and then from the Department of Ed and then went to the states and to the districts to use that opportunity for summer learning to start to help kids recover from the pandemic. And when I say recover, I mean not only health-wise, if they had any issues with COVID, but largely academically and socially from having so much time away from school and from their peers and their teachers. And then finally, the really big change that came with the pandemic was funding that came from the federal government and was earmarked specifically through the American Rescue Plan to fund summer learning programs. So that really created the opportunity for summer to roll out at a national scale in a way that we hadn't seen before.
I see. So your most recent report says that in response to the call to action and the funding, many state leaders saw the potential for summer learning through an equity lens. Do you think that will alter, or has it already altered, the role and purpose of summer programs?
I think it has. And I think summer learning for the last 10, 15 years, a lot of the research has long had an equity lens. Mm-hmm. I would say generally one of the real interests in summer has been that the data traditionally showed it as a time when kids that did not have opportunities for enrichment programming over the summer tended to slip in their academic skills. Whereas kids that had access to different learning opportunities, enrichment opportunities, travel, et cetera, came back to school and retained more of their learning from the prior year. And what has happened, and that has been called the summer slide over time, is that it's been a contributor to gaps in performance between different groups of students. So summer has been conceptualized and then demonstrated to make a difference in providing the opportunity for kids that don't necessarily have those opportunities without summer learning programming to continue to learn over the summer and retain their skills as they go into the next academic year. I think it is more in focus now because, in general, many educators are more focused on equity. Mm-hmm. And so summer has now become a tool that more people are aware of and are using intentionally that way. And when I say equity, I'll say there are two ways that people are talking about equity. People have also become more sophisticated in how they talk about equity. Mm-hmm. For a long time, people have spoken just about the outcomes that, you know what, there are different groups of students who tend to have different kinds of outcomes, and that's an equity issue, and it is. Now we are talking also about equity and opportunities and saying much of the reason that children are at different places in terms of their performance is because they don't have access to the same opportunities. And that's why summer as an opportunity to really even the playing field in that regard.
Yeah, that is really interesting. So your report also notes that there's been a strong emphasis on social-emotional learning in summer programs launched after the pandemic. Is this surprising to you? I know it was surprising to some people who read your report, given the traditional perception that summer school is about academic needs, and as well as all the focus on accelerated learning and learning loss lately.
I guess I would say yes and no. I'm not surprised that people focused on social-emotional learning because it is important. Mm-hmm. And it is not unrelated to academic learning. It's very much related and a contributing factor. And also because of the pandemic, there was a lot of concern about student mental health and just the lack of socialization opportunities during the pandemic. It felt really important for people to just bring kids back together and learning how to socialize again. What we found is that emphasis on social-emotional learning was absolutely coming from the states in their plans that they wrote for their American Rescue Plan funding. And even though in some ways states emphasized social-emotional learning more than they emphasized academic learning, what we learned from getting feedback from districts is nearly all districts also offered academic programming. And many of them paired that with social-emotional learning opportunities. So the translation in terms of what really happened on the ground was largely summer programs did have elements of academic programming because I think teachers and parents and families understood we've got to curb this learning loss.
Your report notes that there's plenty of research to show that high-quality summer programs can lead to academic gains and social-emotional gains. But what goes into making a program really high quality at the design level? What are the steps that leaders need to take to get there?
The best evidence we have is from a randomized controlled trial that was conducted by RAND and the Wallace Foundation over a decade ago. And those components for quality summer learning were very much leveraged by a lot of states and districts as they planned what to do in 2021 and since then. So I will say we do have evidence and we are also still learning because I think there's still a lot to learn. But the basic ingredients include having high quality staff. We want to have programs where the staff are well trained and are specialized in educating students in the areas that are priorities for those students, that school, and that district. The other thing is really starting early with planning. This was something that a lot of schools and districts did not have the luxury of in 2021. A lot of people had to plan very, very quickly at that time, and it's sort of miraculous what they were able to pull off in spite of that. But generally, planning should begin at the latest by January when summer is being planned, because it's really like launching an entire school year within a span of a couple weeks during the summer. It's important to have a blend of academic and enrichment activities between 3 and 4 hours of academics, and then usually 3 or 4 hours of enrichment blended into the day. So there's learning happening across academics and enrichment activities, but it's sort of allowing kids to click into different channels as they go through the day. The research does say that programs should run for at least 5 weeks, optimally 6 weeks, and be 5 days a week. And the other important ingredients include having a quality curriculum. So what are students learning during that academic time period especially? And is it aligned to what they've learned during the academic year? We don't want kids sort of zigging during the school year and then zagging in a totally different academic way during the summer. There should be some cohesion in what they're learning between those two different periods of time. And then also having smaller class sizes during the summer so that students are getting really personalized attention. So that's the best evidence we have so far. I think one of the exciting things as summer has scaled throughout the country is it's now in a position where we can study it in a number of different contexts and probably learn about different ways in which summer is successful that might include a lot of these ingredients and might expand upon them too. So I think there's still a lot to learn.
You've emphasized the importance of enrichment activities in summer learning. In terms of the messaging and communication that school systems do, how can they counter the traditional perception that summer school is punitive or just about academic recovery? I know you said that was a challenge.
It is a challenge. It is kind of amazing how sticky that concept of summer school being punitive has been and how you really have to be deliberate to change the messaging on that. What's exciting is actually there's some really good resources to help people think about how to message for summer differently. One that I'll just talk about was commissioned by the Wallace Foundation and came out in 2018. It's called a Summer Learning Recruitment Guide. And in that guide, it goes through a number of different steps that are important for messaging about summer. So everything from talking about including messages that are important to the students you are serving and using students as messengers for summer, understanding your audience, what are the particular needs in your community and what will get people excited about coming to summer learning, really having messaging that is engaging. It should be clear. It should be simple. It should really elevate the value proposition of summer learning programming for parents and help them understand what this will do for their children and how it will really help prepare them and propel them into their future in a positive way. They also talk about having a written plan and being able to articulate exactly what this experience will look like for their kids when they're in the program. And that helps counteract some of that old messaging about it being punitive. If they hear that they're going to be involved in different enrichment activities, if they hear that there's going to be sort of a camp-like atmosphere, and they're going to be field trips, and you know, a lot of that exciting stuff is out of the realm of imagination for some parents today. So it helps people kind of flip the equation on what they think about summer. They also talk about making communication very consistent and assertive and not thinking that sort of one flyer or one poster is going to be enough. There really has to be a communication and a messaging campaign with trusted messengers. Mm-hmm. So it's a fabulous resource. It's not the only one out there, but it, you know, it has 8 keys to success for really messaging, and I think it's super valuable.
So at the operational level, the day-to-day level, what can school leaders and educators who are involved in summer learning programs do to ensure they're engaging and effective?
There are a lot of things people can do to make it engaging for students. One is, this is a little bit of a tricky balance, but it can be done, is threading the needle by making summer distinct and different than the traditional school year. So people don't envision kids just going into classes and sitting in rows of desks all day and then having a bell ring. Summer should feel like a different experience that is fun, engaging, academic, and enriching, and still have some continuity with the school year in terms of the curriculum and the way kids are learning and the kinds of instruction that is happening. So having that balance between the school year and the summer is important, and yet still making it feel distinct. I think there can be a trap where people feel like academics are a no-no for the summer, that academics are a turnoff and kids don't want to have academics. And actually, the evidence does not support that. The evidence supports having a blend and just having some different context wrapped around those academics so kids feel like they're in a unique and novel experience and they're learning. Most kids want to learn. They have no problem when learning is fun and it's blended with other enriching activities. So I think for educators not to feel afraid to weave in academics into the other camp-like fun, enriching experiences in the summer is really important. Kids want to come back to school and feel prepared. Kids are rewarded by feeling like they're learning. And so we don't want to shy away from that. The other thing I will say is the most successful summer programs also leverage partners. Summer is a time when educators can really get creative. Look around, look at your community assets, look at your Boys and Girls Clubs, your YMCAs, your local arts programs, Parks and Rec, your libraries, et cetera. Think about how to really harness those partnerships in ways that, again, will actually help with staffing, help with enrichment, and bring new life and new experiences into that time period of the summer.
That's great. So it's been 3 years since the president's call to action on summer learning, as you mentioned, and the inclusion of funding in summer learning programs in the American Rescue Plan, which I believe are sunsetting.
Yes.
What's your sense of what summer learning will look like in the near future going forward after all this work has been done?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a lot of energy and excitement to sustain summer programming. And I think that's tempered with some concern because some of those funds are going away. So there's a lot of conversation right now about how do we sustain the momentum and some of the benefits we're seeing for our kids from this summer programming, continue to expand it, and figure out how to fund this. So again, this is where I think partners can come in. There's a lot of efficiency and economies of scale that can happen when we are leveraging our partners. So that's number one. There are also additional funding streams. A lot of people doing the hard work of building capacity and providing technical assistance to folks that run summer programs are also helping them identify different funding streams that they may not have realized could be leveraged for summer learning programming. So some of that is saying, just because these funds are sunsetting, it doesn't mean that the whole program has to sunset. We now need to think of different ways of supporting it and maybe bringing in different partners to the table to be able to find efficiencies in what we are doing. So I think there's a lot of energy, and now it's trying to build a bridge from those federal funds to other local funds and other more personalized, tailored ways of supporting this work going forward. Funding matters, but it's also the people and the ideas that will sustain the programs.
Yeah, and the recognition that this is important work.
Exactly.
So based on what you've learned from your research, how can school leaders be thinking about summer learning as part of their overall academic programming and school improvement planning?
It's important for school leaders to think of summer as not optional, but really essential, an essential component in their academic year, an essential opportunity to learn that can be tailored in different ways to the needs of their students. And there's so many different kinds of summer programs. Some of them are helping kids accelerate their learning and get caught up with some of their peers. And some of them are more enrichment oriented. Some of them are focused on students that are advanced and need additional stimulation. So there are a number of ways that these programs can be tailored within a district and within schools for different populations of students. So I would say continuing to innovate during summer and using it as a time and a space to target and tailor learning opportunities, engage with partners that frankly may also be great partners during the full academic year, the traditional academic year. Innovate, find new ways of working, and think about finding some continuity with the academic year. Let the academic year and the curriculum inform and have some continuity for students and what they need to learn in the summer. And let some of that innovation that can happen in the space of 5 or 6 weeks during the summer inform what might be innovative during the academic year.
That's a great message to end on. Thank you, Allison Crean Davis, for taking the time to talk with us about this important topic. It's really great information. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate all you do for schools and students.